1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, Andy Dalton's getting more snaps. We'll explain in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Mike Harmon, a national host at Fox Sports Radio and the host of the I Watch Your Flex podcast. We talk with him more about the Bears and Justin Fields, some White Sox baseball, and his new show on Fox Sports Radio. Should be a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Brian McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no game with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at RyanIsMyAgent.com. That's RyanIsMyAgent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. Sometimes as people, we like to overreact. Bears fans know this, right? I mean, think about it. For 30, 40, 50 years, all you've eaten was bread. Now, bread's not bad. It gets the job done sometimes, but you want some more flavor. You want action, life. So it's been bread for about 30, 40 years. Now, you see the lobster. You see Justin Fields waiting on a platter for you. The waiter's bringing it to you, but you can't wait. You got to run up and grab it from him and start eating. No one wants to wait. Waiter's walking right to your table, but you want it right now. You've been sick of the bread for the past 30, 40 years. I get it. Believe me, I understand. I mean, I don't enjoy watching Rex Grossman. Cade McNown, Josh McCown, Jay Cutler, Nick Foles, Mike Lennon. I've had enough, too, in my life. I want to see a superstar. I want to see this team finally get a 4,000-yard passer. How is it that the Bears are the only team in football to not have that? That's embarrassing. But then again, the time may not be right. There's a reason why the lobster takes time to prepare. Why the waiter walks it over to you. You don't run up to the kitchen and grab it. You wait. You make sure it's cooked to perfection. You make sure it's served to you correctly on a platter at a table with a fork and a knife. Everything has to be perfect. It has to be prepared perfectly, presented perfectly for you to enjoy it. You may want the lobster in your hand, but when you go up and grab it off the platter and eat it with your bare hands, you won't enjoy it as much. Versus sitting down in a fancy restaurant, dressing up, getting all your utensils ready, and enjoying the meal. You want to enjoy the meal, not rush and have it all be gone in a second. It's what Bears fans need to realize about Justin Fields. What do you want as a fan base? Do you want to enjoy the meal? Or are you that desperate, that quarterback deprived, that you need it right now this second? Now, I learned something back in economic class when I was in college. Nobody wants to win. Everybody prefers the present to the future. People prefer money today versus money in 20 years when if you put on interest, it could be worth more. Just a fact. Same thing applies here. If you wait, a couple of games even, not just right away, but even a couple of games, he doesn't have to sit the whole year. You'll get what you need. You'll get a 15-year franchise quarterback who could lead you back to the Super Bowl. But no one wants that. People want it today, right now. Why isn't Fields starting? Why isn't he with the first team? What the hell's going on? Well, back up a second. As we talked about a couple of days ago after the preseason game, it's not that Fields isn't talented, but the Bears do not have the right pieces to make things successful. They don't have the utensils. They don't have the fork and the knife to help cut up the lobster. They don't. They have no O-line. And even though the receivers are okay when everybody's at full strength, I still don't believe it's enough. They really don't have a formidable number three option yet. They could. I think Daz Newsome could be that guy, but it's not confirmed yet. We got to wait. They have a run game, which is fine, but nothing will work if you don't have an O-line. I had Mike Harmon on. You'll hear it later in this program. We talked about last year, Mitch and Nick. Say what you want. I know the skill level's much different, but no matter what, they were running for their lives every play. They had no O-line help, and it improved at the end of the year, but still, it wasn't enough. I don't understand why it's a good idea to put him in week one away in Los Angeles against Aaron Donald when your entire O-line is injured. Tevin Jenkins, Larry Borum, still not playing, still not ready. You sign a 39-year-old Jason Peters, whoop-de-doo. I mean, do you really believe that's going to make a difference? No, it's not. Minimal at best. Not to say Peters is a bad player, but what 39-year-old on the offensive line have you seen succeed in the NFL? If you can name a couple, put them in the comments. Put them somewhere. Tag me on social media. At John Z Sports, because I don't see anything. I've never heard of that before in my life. So there's a reason why all this is happening. And now we saw a report just yesterday, quote, we're going to get Andy Dalton more snaps. Nagy told reporters on Monday that Andy Dalton remains the number one quarterback in Chicago. He remains on track to start against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Nagy also said that the plan for this week's game against the Bills is for Dalton to spend more time on the field than he did against the Dolphins. Andy had six plays. It's hard to say much good or bad. We're going to get him some more snaps. You know what I love? Love the outrage at this. You know, you go on Twitter. I have the article right here. 50 quote tweets. Oh, boy. No one's happy. I have no problem with this strategy. And for those of you who followed me since the Dan Fields got drafted, I said he should not start game one. Now, I'll admit at first I was wrong. I said he should sit out the whole year. That's a bit too much, I admit. But to play him week one when you don't have an O-line against Aaron Donald. Oh, and by the way, you paid Andy Dalton some money to be the starting quarterback, QB1. Why would you start Fields? You know, people addressed this in the last video I did saying, well, Fields is more mobile. Why don't you want him starting? It doesn't matter. The mobility is not the issue. The issue is, no matter what, no O-line. No matter what. He could be mobile. He could run for 100 yards. No O-line. And everybody's saying, well, you can't hold him out just because you're scared of an injury. Everybody gets hurt. Yeah, okay, so you want him to tear his ACL and have his career be over? What happened to RG3? Joe Burrow, not saying his career is over, but last year took a tough turn. Don't you learn your lesson from the past? From other players, other big quarterbacks in the NFL. Shouldn't we learn our lesson? And ironically enough, the Redskins at the time and the Bengals are both quarterback-needy organizations, even to this day. They've never had a big franchise quarterback in a while. They were desperate, and they paid the price. Why should the Bears continue down that road? They've seen what desperation does. We all know what desperation does. Life lesson. When you're desperate, sometimes you make stupid decisions. Let the meal come to you on a platter. Eat it correctly. It's not ready yet. Had a couple of good balls. Great. I liked the way he threw. I saw poise, mobility. I loved it. You have to remember this too, though. That's against the second-string Miami Dolphins defense. Andy Dalton will get more first-string reps. Why? He's supposed to start week one. They are not wavering from that plan. And here's an interesting note, by the way, and Mike Harmon talks about this a bit. Makes sense. Last season for Matt Nagy. Took out Mitch, put in Nick, went back to Mitch. Made the playoffs and probably saved his job. What happens if you start Fields and he tanks? Who are you going to put in? Andy Dalton, he's supposed to be the backup. Andy won't save your season. It's in Nagy's best interest to take Fields off the bench, to see the team go 0-5, 1-4, and put in Fields and say, hey, maybe he could save us. Versus 0-5, Fields in, no one to turn to. Remember, Matt Nagy wants to keep his job too. And I still do believe he's somewhat under thin ice. See, no one's talked about that aspect yet, but that's a glaring one that's ever-present. Still there. Nagy wants job security. And I'm sure he's been told, hey, if you develop Fields right, we'll keep you. Do you really think he's going to rush him out there just for everybody else's sake? No. I'm still targeting week four for Fields to come in against Detroit. Perfect day to do it. Look, if Mitch Trubisky, whom everybody hates, could beat up on the Lions, there's no reason why Justin Fields shouldn't either. Best way to start, builds up some confidence, momentum, play him the rest of the year, see what happens. But up until then, I don't see the benefit in just putting him in for no reason with no O-line. If they had no line, it'd be different. I'll be honest. It would be a different story if they had proper protection, but they don't. I don't see why it's good sit here and rush him, and probably tear his ACL or have an ankle injury that could progress into next year. We didn't even talk about that. And I can't stand the argument, oh, why are you putting him out because of a possible injury? No, no, no. The point is, he has no O-line. The odds that he does get hurt are great. Oh, but he's mobile. Doesn't matter. Pockets do collapse. There are times in which the quarterback, mobile or not, gets sacked. And you traded draft capital to get him. You traded up. To their credit, even though it was John Fox at the time, they did protect Mitch. They waited a couple of games to put him in. Fine by me. No one said a word back then. Everyone was okay with it. No one said, oh, I want Mitch to start game one. No. Why has it changed now? What, because Fields is more talented? He is. But he has nothing around him. I mean, you can't tell me as a real Bears fan, a biased Bears fan even, that this team is a great old line and they're ready to protect Fields. They're not. The guy's going to get lit up. And I'll say this much. It's not going to be well for his psyche to be running every time he gets the football. Away from defenders. Not designed runs. I'm talking about running away from Aaron Donald 20 times on Sunday Night Football. Not going to help. Not going to benefit him. I mean, come on here. Let's think about what to do and how this would benefit the team. Would it benefit the Bears to just put him in right away? No. I don't see the benefit. If I'm wrong, tell me. What's the benefit to put him in right away with no O-line? Versus, wait a couple of games, see if guys get healthy, see if Andy Dalton can even play, then make the move. You know, everybody benefits from him sitting. I'm being serious here. Fields doesn't have to play with no O-line. Andy Dalton at least plays a bit so he could justify the contract. Matt Nagy could turn and save his job if Dalton doesn't work. Versus if you put in Fields right away and he doesn't work, you're in big trouble. Ryan Pace won't draft a bust of a quarterback if you wait on Fields. So as much as you want him in, think about everybody who has skin in the game here. And who's going to benefit and who isn't. I see absolutely no benefits to putting him in right away. I don't. I don't see any benefits. All I see is caving into public opinion and satisfying fans need a quarterback, even though it could be satisfied in a couple of games. I've waited 40 years for a quarterback. Why do I have to wait more? Because if you wait, you'll get a 15-year veteran who could win a Super Bowl for you. Versus ruining him right away, having him scarred for life, and having him become Mitch Trubisky. I'm not saying Mitch is a bust. I'm saying he has been scarred by his experience here in Chicago. There's no question. Because of play calling, no protection, and yes, bad play at times. Do you really want that to happen to Fields too? I don't think so. There's a saying in life, and actually it applies to this situation perfectly. Whatever you do, whatever decision you make, make sure it benefits you. Look out for yourself. The Bears have to look out for themselves here. And putting in Fields game one is the complete opposite for everybody involved. Fields would have no O-line, so he'd be running for his life all night long against Aaron Donald. If Fields doesn't work, who can Matt Nagy turn to? He could be fired if the Bears go 0-4 with Fields. Then what? He'll lose his job, and the Bears will have to bring in a new coach who could develop him. And that's fine, but not good for him. And if that does happen, if the team does go 0-4 with Fields, Ryan Pace won't look too good either. Not to mention the fact you've got a rookie quarterback who has no help and no backing. To me, it all adds up. Makes pretty good sense here that he should not start. And those who tell you he should are fans, and that's fine. I know you've been waiting. I know it's been 40 years. I know it's been so long for this team. But I go back to the lobster analogy. You order a lobster in a restaurant, and you see it being walked over to you on a platter. You got your napkin. You got your utensils. You're ready. You're going to run up, grab the platter from the waiter, and just start eating it with your hands. No, you're going to wait to sit down and enjoy the dinner. Same thing here. Sit down and enjoy what Justin Fields will bring to you. No need to rush him. No need to scar him if you really want him to be a franchise quarterback. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Mike Harmon comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglulin, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a host on Fox Sports Radio, the founder of SwollenDome.com, and the host of the I Want Your Flex podcast. Please welcome Mike Harmon to the program. Mike, it's great to have you on. How are you?
It means another cycle has come, and it's been a year, as everybody has had the highs, lows, and living vicariously through the sports on the field. So we at least have that victory for us.
So, Mike, what's your take on the Bears' first preseason game?
It's a first preseason game. I don't get too high. I don't get too low. Try to be the voice of reason on our show on Fox Sports Radio, you know, fighting Jason Smith. And sometimes LeVar Arrington and I go at it on our Sunday show. But it's the, you know, the idea that you try to take little glimpses and see if you can pull a few positives. Because let's face it, you know, anytime you start getting amped up too much, you've set yourself up for great disappointment. You know what? As I get older, I try not to do that, right? Let's temper expectations and then be pleasantly surprised. But, you know, you have to like some of the things you saw. And certainly Justin Fields was the headliner and making national news and obviously dominating the airwaves there in Chicago. But, you know, when I look at it overall, you know, there's the big question for me that isn't going to be solved or answered in any preseason game is, are there going to be five guys that can line up and keep him upright? Because the last thing I want is the Bears to unveil some new color scheme or alternate jersey next year, and for all of us to be looking at, you know, Justin Fields' knee or ankle like we did Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals, where he played behind one of the worst offensive lines ever assembled, ran for his life, and paid the price. So, you know, it's all about being practical, pragmatic, and recognizing where there's going to be an obvious question mark on your roster.
Should he start game one if the O-line is still in this position?
I'm not starting him against the Rams in that defensive front. I mean, look, I'm not there at practice, so if you just tell me he's otherworldly with every throw, whatever. But, you know, let's be frank. The throw to Jesse James, other than showing a little bit of arm strength and, yes, accuracy, so it looked like a giant bullseye on the field, that wasn't into a tight window. That wasn't a big-time throw. Jesse James caught the ball and backed in like, yeah, he could have moonwalked in or whatever dance you want to do. It was like there was no pressure point on that throw. The run, impressive. Field vision, all of that stuff is great. But to me, you paid QB1, right, all the Instagram posts or whatever, Andy Dalton, a bunch of money to come in. We know what he is. And you've got a tough opponent out of the gate. I'm still of the old school of I want to see the guy, you know, grow into a role and know that when you hand the keys over, it's ready to go. And I think what we have right now is, you know, our microwave society. And some teams have set it up to where there is no competition. You look at the fun and excitement of Trevor Lawrence or you know, with Gardner Minshew still there, you know, we know Trevor Lawrence is going to be the guy. When you go to the Jets, they don't have anybody. It's Zach Wilson's time. Here, you went and paid a veteran to come in. So, you know, you can slow the clock and see what you have to start the season.
Mike, when Bears Twitter hears this interview, they're going to come after you. Are you okay with that?
That's fine. It wouldn't be the first time someone's come after me. It won't be the last. On a nightly basis, if I showed you what the comments were in my Twitter feed and messages and everything, yeah, I get called every name in the book. I know everybody wants the shiny new toy right now. I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be that way.
Mike Harmon, you're on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, what's Justin Fields' ceiling, though? How far do you think he could go in the NFL?
If this is done right, and again, I need all the component parts there. As an individual athlete, I mean, it's all there. The ceiling is, you know, it's the old proverbial through the roof. It's just a matter of, you know, do you have all the complementary pieces? I think they're in a little better shape, you know, in the skill positions than I think most, you know, assuming that you get Cohen back to complement Montgomery and you got Damian Williams is interesting. Receiver position. I've been stumping for Darnell Mooney a bunch when it comes to the fantasy side of things, you know, the other part of the gig that we do with all this, the I Watch Your Flex podcast and all that fun stuff. But, you know, he's no longer a secret. I think folks are figuring out. And he's a guy that'll obviously win big once Justin Fields is there. But I think Fields is a guy that, you know, could be one of those top five guys in this league. But it's like everything. It's like it has its time and its space.
Are you concerned about Matt Nagy developing him?
Honestly, yeah. I mean, you know, we talked about it last year and a lot with how the offense was run and decisions that were made. I mean, look how explosive that offense was down the stretch. Why did the scheme have to change then? Why wasn't there a recognition of how Trubisky could run an offense to start a season? And that's not to, you know, go and build a shrine to him. It's just, it was obvious that you know, getting him out on the move. And we see this with a lot of the younger quarterbacks, right? You know, from seven on sevens and the drills that you do now, a lot of the guys that are throwing on the run and making plays. And I know there's been a lot of spotlight on, you know, a few from Justin during this process. It's like they're that's part of the DNA of the quarterbacks of this generation. But we saw that with Trubisky last year, and they're moving the ball, they're scoring points. Like the Nick Foles experiment was a disaster when they inserted him into the lineup, and you can't tell me anything else. So, you know, anytime there's a, you know, the exaltation, and I see it a lot in the national guys because they like Matt Nagy. I take exception. I raise my hand and say, hold on a second. So yeah, there's a modicum of reservation, but sometimes the talent is just going to break through.
How safe do you think his job is moving forward? What needs to happen this year and the years to come for him to stay with the Bears?
They need a better, more secure playoff run. You know, they got in with the extra slot last year, obviously. To me, though, that's the other part, is to see the curiosity of the psychology of it all, right? Because if you start Justin Fields and things don't go right off the jump, you don't have that get out of jail free card of, hey, we brought the rookie in midway through the season and it's going to take some time. And so for him and for the front office, certainly, you know, that's the old card you get to play, right? Of, well, you know, we've got this guy, he's at the ready, you got to let us develop him kind of situation. Now we've seen so many other teams haven't, you know, done that, and they'll still put the hook on the coach. But as we know, the Bears usually let it go a little bit longer. So, but I think they have to win, right? Last year, you had some attrition on defense and some issues that didn't let you hit, you know, max on both sides of the ball. But I think the expectations have to be big for this year.
If they start Fields right away or in the first couple of weeks, do you see a playoff appearance for the Bears?
Well, tough schedule out of the jump, right? So, you know, you got to do it. I think they're a playoff team, provided they can stay healthy. And that's regardless of Dalton or Fields at the QB. I think with Fields, obviously, there's a little different element in terms of the verticality you can get into over Dalton and the plays with his legs, et cetera. But I still go back to the, you know, the offensive line. I don't know if they're expecting the arrival of Jason Peters to solve everything. That's the one part of this team. It all begins and ends with that front five and defensively, you know, your alignment and everything builds from there. And that's the one concern that I have. But certainly in the division, you know, Minnesota's got some great talent, but obviously the specter over Kirk Cousins potentially missing time if something enters the building. Is there. You look at the Detroit Lions and Dan Campbell, while he's a fun, entertaining listen, and I love the coaching staff he's assembled, I don't think personnel-wise they're ready. Green Bay, team to beat. And then you look at the NFC overall, I think they should be in the playoff mix and find their way in. But as we know, you know, one or two injuries, and especially that offensive line. I hate to harp on it, and people are going to be like, he said that already. I'm like, yes, because it's that important. It's that important. I don't care how good Justin Fields is. Any quarterback either throwing from his backside or running for his life on every down is not a formula for winning.
And we saw that last year with Foles and Trubisky, to the point where both guys who weren't super mobile had to run away so much and, you know, nothing materialized.
Right. No, that's just it. So, you know, but that goes back to the adaptability, right? And that was the thing with Mitchell towards the end of the season. It was, okay, we're going to design it to where you're already on the move, right? So that we can make something happen, as opposed to just leaving you between the tackles and hoping and wishing and praying. So I think the importance of adaptability. But the worst thing you could do is come into a season saying, all right, we have to game plan for that game one because we know we don't have an offensive line that stands up. And unfortunately, I think that's where they're at right now.
Before we go to baseball, Mike, I wanted to ask you, are there any other national NFL headlines that you wanted to talk about or plug before we shift to a new topic? I know we talked a bit off the air. I want to give you the floor.
Oh, no. I mean, look, it all flows back to the same reservoir, right? You've got hot take nonsense of the hatred of Tim Tebow, who got cut by the Jaguars. Look, I saw some of the, one-liners folks were throwing out there, and guys are embarrassing themselves. It's like, guy got a shot, guy got cut, game over, okay? That's it. Everybody needs someone to be their champion in any field in this world. And whenever a guy who you've given so much to, you know, like a career for Urban Meyer, came off of the back of a lot of the greatness of Tim Tebow, you let him hang in camp a little bit. And then when it's time, he goes away. And that's it. End of story, right? Everybody else got a job through a friend, got a referral, got a lateral shift because someone knew somebody, or, you know, you were buddies, golfing buddies or whatever. I mean, look in the mirror. You know, there's parts of your life that weren't all merit-based. So, you know, all those folks can beat it. The rest of it, I think, there's so much of the air was taken out of the room with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. He ended up doing exactly what I said he would. So I took a little victory lap over my partner, Jason Smith, on that one. We'll continue to fight, I think, all season long on that. And then it's troubling that, you know, you have the situation in Houston that really doesn't seem to be an end to, and there's not a lot of clarity, and the indecisiveness of the NFL puts it back in the crosshairs of folks that want to talk about, you know, how much they care or don't for people outside the league. So that one's a bit troubling, not just for the headlines, but also, you know, we're back to the hand-wringing, ineffectual style of doing things. Even if you didn't like the decisions Roger Goodell made, he tried to be somewhat, or at least to my mind, consistent in, hey, you're hurting the shield, you're suspended, versus right now it's a wait-and-see game, and it's put a first-year coach in no man's land. And for all of us that cover the sport, trying to explain how and why things are happening, there's no rhyme or reason.
How do you think that whole saga ends for Watson?
He'll end up on the exempt list, I would suspect, here, but not until, you know, there's that 11th hour where he's forced to be. And then, because he's not going to be able to be deposed. We talked to our legal analysts on Fox Sports Radio. You know, he's not going to be able to be deposed until February. You've got the summering of a grand jury investigation trying to indict him. And you get into a world where, you know, people say, oh, he's indicted. Well, that doesn't mean he's guilty, right? The old joke from Law and Order was that you can indict a ham sandwich. Not to be glib about it, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily end anything. And you still got to go through all of the women and the complaints and the details and try to decipher through. And the number of them that are now going out to their own press junkets and you know, meeting with reporters, I don't know that helps any of the rest of the process to get to its, you know, whatever that natural conclusion is. So I think it drags on for quite some time here. And, you know, I said, you know, for the last 2 years, Tyrod Taylor's probably led one of the most interesting existences in the National Football League. You lose a starting job on a pretty good looking team because of a bad puncture job. And Justin Herbert takes over, you know, when you're getting your pain shot. And then you go to Houston, where you're expected to be the backup or, you know, whatever happens in a Deshaun Watson trade scenario. And now you're taking reps while he's still on the field and everybody's trying to figure out which end is up. So you talk about a journey through an NFL life.
Yeah, you know, and he, led the Bills to a playoff appearance. I thought that was a great story, even though he didn't have the best numbers. Was in Cleveland as well, didn't do well, and then was replaced by Baker Mayfield. It seems like everywhere he goes, someone's always right in the back to replace him.
Yeah, it's a weird life that he's lived, right? Because with Buffalo, there were shades of this guy can play, but he's not going to be a stat monster, but he doesn't turn the ball over a ton. And then Cleveland, obviously, you get the opportunity to draft number one. You're done. I mean, that's it. Your career there is finished. So And in Cleveland, you're usually a placeholder anyway.
Mike Arment here on Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, let's talk White Sox now. How impressive were their trade deadline moves?
Right now, I'm loving what I'm seeing, just at every part, you know, function, execution, watching the game on it. While I was on air last night with Fox Sports Radio, I had to, you know, I couldn't just start cheering. I mean, I see a bunt laid down, and I had a tear in my eye. But, you know, when Kimbrel comes in and he's firing and reaching 100 miles an hour, take what you will of the speedometer and the radar gun, but you know what, it hit triple digits, let's celebrate it. You know, when you get that 1-2 combination at the back of the pen, and you look at the lineup now healthy and ready to roll, it's fun times, right? It's the expectations of the world. I went out this weekend, my daughter had a soccer tournament and had a White Sox shirt on, and the guy looked at me and said, "Hey, good time to be a Sox fan." So I'm like, "It's always good time to be a Sox fan. What are you talking about?" And he kind of looked at me like, "Why did you snap back at me?" I'm like, "Look, man, fandom isn't just when the team's winning, right? The team you follow is like you feel the lows. But yes, it's a fun year, highlights, and obviously all the attention around the Field of Dreams game. But you know, it when you finally are in a point where your team is being aggressive, not just, "Hey, we made a little bit of a move here or a little something there," but we go and raid the crosstown cupboard as they're having a sale, right? And all of those, like, there's just a psychology that comes with it. So as a fan, as a guy that works nationally, and anybody that tells you they're not a fan of this, that, the other, again, they're liars. Because what got you into this field? Other than maybe you said, "Hey, I got a buddy that can get me a job. See how that all comes back, and I can make some money doing this." You're a fan of the game. You're a fan of the team or area that you grew up in. And for me, it's just been just thrilling to watch, you know, this coalesce after everybody wanted Tony La Russa run out of town on the rails.
Did you want Tony La Russa run out of town?
No. I mean, obviously, when the hiring happened, and we talked about it, you know, there was a little bit of, "All right, this is an interesting move. Let's see how this plays." And it decision making, right? People aren't used to, you know, they lament that nobody manages like quote unquote old school. And yet they were quick to have the poison pens out as soon as he did.
Right. Exactly. Right?
So what you're doing in May sets up for what you're doing in September and October when it's winning time. So if you need to try to bunt to get a player over to generate a run in May and it doesn't work, now you're on the, you know, you're being excoriated in the press. And then all of a sudden you start getting into August and September, and then those plays that you've integrated and made part of what your team's identity is work. It's like, "Oh, look, the genius of Tony La Russa." It's like, it's nothing the guy hadn't been doing. He was the bullpen guy 30 years ago, mixing and matching and doing all that. So like, I think it just took time for folks to appreciate it. But, you know, as much as people want to celebrate guys as they get older in our sports and still thriving, I mean, look at all the rose petals finally thrown at Tom Brady. You got some holdouts, but for the most part, it's like, "Oh, look, at 43, he's still doing that." I think people, Tony La Russa, they weren't quite ready for that. And I'm not quite sure why. So, you know, it's seeing him mix with this young squad and leading them as he has is fun. It's a good story for baseball, right? The generations linking together, but also just from a, you know what, managing still matters.
How prepared are they for a World Series championship?
I think they are. I avoid the injuries down the stretch. I mean, obviously, no cakewalk, plenty of boppers that you're going to have to field against and play. And I'm wondering if, you know, you go back to 2005, you're going to be leaning on that rotation to come up big, right? Because the conga line of some of these big run out bursts aren't necessarily going to be there on a nightly basis. But, you know, you've got the horses. And like we talk, you know, you make a few moves to bolster the staff and the back end, and you should be ready to roll. So, no, well, I haven't booked a ticket. I mean, because I don't know dates yet. I do expect to be seeing baseball deep in October.
Are you going to come out to Chicago for a game if they make it to the World Series?
Oh, I'm already working with my brothers on that. Yeah. No, I got to game two back in 05.
Okay.
And had to cancel all of my radio appearances. I was doing like hits all over the country doing fantasy stuff because I had no voice.
Well, what do you think they do this year? I mean, do you think really that they're going to win the World Series? I mean, who do they have to get past and who do you think they face in this series itself?
Well, I picked the Brewers-White Sox World Series pretty early in the season.
Okay.
So out here in Los Angeles, obviously, you know, all the expectations, we're going again. It's like, that rotation is really shaky right now. And the guy that you just acquired, not quite a throw-in, but, well, let's call it a throw-in, in Trey Turner, the way that trade went down, he's your best position player right now. So, you know, Bellinger's starting to hit again. Certainly the long balls are coming back, but they haven't had the same level of consistency. And you would think after all these deep playoff runs, even though they're younger guys, eventually it starts to catch up a little bit. But rotation-wise, I mean, we're not even going to get into the Trevor Bauer stuff, but he's not there. Kershaw's hurt. Dustin May's not there. So it's been on Julio Urias, who's been fantastic, and now you got Max Scherzer. So, you know, nice to be able to go into the market and pick that up. But is that enough? I'm not sure. Milwaukee, is, you know, as you guys followed there in the Midwest, you know, deep. And look, you could beat up on the Cubs a lot, so that helps. But it's – and that was not a slight to the Cubs. Okay, all right, it might have been. But it's the idea that
– Triple-A Cubs, Mike.
Well, but it's everything you do, John. You know, you beat who's on the schedule, right? Right. Folks could say that about the White Sox. Like, you know, all you can do is play the games, refine things, figure out what's going to work. And then we see how it goes once you, you know, scale up and you're into the playoffs. And so I think it works. National League, you know, there's a couple of teams that, you know, are interesting, but are they world beaters? No. Right. I think they're all you got a number of teams that are the same on that side of the bracket. And through the American League, it's the all right coming out of the East. You know, what kind of power sensations? I mean, we saw how quickly things can change if the Yankees are hanging around. Right. You know, I don't know how a guy's still on a roster after saying I quit as a closer. But I'll leave those kind of decisions for people to answer that are smarter than me, but the decisions going through, I think they're well positioned to make a run. Pitching and big time hitting, it works. Plus the situational baseball, triple underscore that, all the stuff they've been working on all year.
More to come with Mike Harmon in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. On Sports Talk Chicago. Mike, two more questions before we finish up. First off, your best moment hosting I Want Your Flex is what?
Oh, I Want Your Flex. We did episode one. We did the quarterbacks and the tight ends. And I did a really good job stumping for Josh Allen.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to secretly throw someone through a table. Maybe I need to lay down on the couch and talk that through somebody. But, you know, I have him up at number one. And then I get a little creative in the rankings. And this was even before the next MRI for Dak Prescott and such. So, no, Dan Byer and I are having a good time. It's a good listen. And odds are, if you didn't want to yell at me for the takes earlier, you'll want to do it now.
And, Mike, before we finish up today, last question. What's the most impassioned rant you've had on Fox Sports Radio?
I am a guy that believes in the market economy. So anytime there's an overall grousing over ticket prices, parking, whatever, I sound like Joe Corporate. But I'm also, you know, coming from the idea of, these are supposed to be events, right? I'll put it in perspective. You know, every year they have the, maybe sometimes twice a year, the, all right, prices are going up at Disneyland. And everybody starts wringing their hands, going, oh, my God, it costs. Can you remember? And I laugh and I go, you're still going to go, right? It's like, yeah. It's like, all right, so that they proved their point. Inelastic demand, right? You're studying this. I know this.
Right.
You know, inelastic demand. I can raise it another 20%. And you know what? Same number of people are walking through the gates. The fact that they haven't, you know, doubled it on principle has always been surprising to me. But they get you for all the plastic tchotchkes, sweatshirts, when you realize it actually kind of gets chilly at night, all of those things. But it's the same thing with sports. Like, you got a lot of opportunities to go to games. And I know football only has 8. But again, it's a big city, millions of people, which means prices are going to be high. And when you've got a winner in town like the White Sox, you're going to have to be prepared pay, right? You want them to retain free agents. Price of poker goes up, which means the price of your ticket is going to go up, and all of those things. You want to go to a big series, right? People mad that they couldn't get into the Field of Dreams. Well, that's one thing. But then I saw so many hand-wringing things over, was $1,500 on the secondary market. I'm like, it is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Unless you stalk Kevin Costner on a golf course, you're not going to go and see him that close, right? Big movie stars. This is a once-in-a-lifetime event. You go to a bar or restaurant, you know, pick whatever your favorite local place is or chain restaurant. Family of four eating hot dogs, hamburgers, and having a couple of soft drinks. You're not getting out for under $50.
Right.
Put it in a jar. Cook those hot dogs at home 1 week. It's, well, you can get them on sale sometimes for 99 cents for an 8-pack. Add some buns, you're in for $2. And you probably already have condiments that have been sitting in your fridge forever. There you go. There's a $48 difference swing for that week that goes into a jar towards the next big event you want to go to. And people get mad at me and they start cursing at me. My partner on the radio tells me, and I'm an elitist. And I say, no. Experiences, there's an intrinsic value. And when it's a once in a lifetime, like the Bears, if you guys come out here and the Bears are out here for the Super Bowl in Los Angeles, you know what? It's a new building. It's Los Angeles. And the Bears haven't been there since Miami. It's going to cost you a lot of money. You know what? Start saving now. Because even if it doesn't happen this year, eventually wasn't when it does. If you've been putting a couple of bucks away every week, it's kind of like building for your retirement. Same thing here for your fandom. Invest in your fandom that when it happens, you're going to be able to grab a hammer, smash that jar and say, all right, we've got money for tickets. And you know what? We could pay whatever Disney wants this week too.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on. Best wishes with I Watch Your Flex, Fox Sports Radio, and looking forward to catching up again soon. Thank you so much.
Can't wait to see how this thing starts popping. You know I'll be in touch, brother. Thanks for the time.
Great talk there with Mike Harmon, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Mike Harmon himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbin, to Marlboro Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No! Mirror the Turtle!